Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
For joining us here today. I'm your host, Doug.
Welcome
to Monday Morning Mindfulness. Welcome to Monday Morning Mindfulness. I'm your host, Zelda Speaks. We are just here to start your week off with the Mindfulness Stress Release Session. Coming up live at 7:15 a.m., we can release some of that stress because you see I just encountered it. And it's like, okay, will you be quiet? We got a show to start here. Anyway, it is Monday, March 25th. It is the last Monday of the month in March. I'm sorry, is this April? This is April 25th. I forget my month. See what stress does to you? It confuses you. Tony, don't make me turn this camera around so people can see you in your PJs. Oh, I forgot the young people wear PJs out of the... Okay, anyway, that's another story. I digress. Happy Earth Day, birthday, born day. If today's your birthday, we're celebrating it with you. The fact that your heart is still beating, that's a good sign that you have a mission here in life. You got some work to do. It's simple. And sometimes we don't want to do that because we don't know what it is. That's why we get quiet. That's why we have the meditation session at 7:15 a.m. sharp. So let's get to it. Let us always keep in prayer those who are affected by we all are affected by the pandemic. And everything that's going on in this world is just total chaos. So that's why it's crucial that we spend some quiet time. We're going to do that at 7:15. So please take a moment out of your day and pray for those who are in need of prayer, including ourselves. Okay, today's topic, congressional candidate Jonathan Jackson will be joining us and sharing his plans for the state of Illinois. You know, Bobby Rush is retiring, so congressional candidate Jonathan Jackson is right on top of it. And that is our topic for today. And also, just in case you weren't aware, and I know you were because everybody was at the all 50 gas stations this weekend except for a couple of them where cities didn't have money for weekend help. So they didn't have gas. Anyway, if you go to my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, you'll get a chance to see most of the footage from the event. The press conference was at 7201 North Clark Street at the gas station there. And I wonder, it was just so refreshing to see the Filipino community, the Middle Eastern community, and all communities in support of Dr. Willie Wilson Foundation and what he's trying to do for the community. Just like today is the beginning of the day that the city gives away the cash for those who are living in the city of Chicago. And you can always go to my blog at zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. The information will be there. But it just seems to me it's a good thing. I'm not quite in agreement with the way it's done, but, you know, nobody's ever satisfied with anything. It's a lottery. Anyway, that information is on my blog as well, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. If you're listening online, thank you so much for joining us this morning. You can paste your comments on our YouTube page or our Facebook page, and there's both of them. And be sure and join us for the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest coming up this Saturday, where we showcase youth from all over the world. They have been coming from Africa, Asia, New Zealand, Canada, Australia, everywhere. So if you have teens between the ages of 13 and 19, have them send their audition tapes to us via a YouTube link to HLN TV show, and they can win prizes and cash. Last month we gave out $500 Harold Washington Scholarship. So be sure and share this information because we need our young people involved and also involved in our homeless project. This is what's on our Instagram channel. We work to help those at Tent City. Those of you who've been listening to this broadcast know that my little brother Douglas Robinson was murdered there in 2019 by another homeless man. and I had no idea of the plight of the homeless, so I made it my mission to help those that I can, and that's what we help, the people at Tent City, residents at on Desplaines Avenue between Roosevelt and Taylor, right next to the BP gas station. So just wanted to share that with you. And if you would like to donate, go to higherlearningnetwork.org. All of that information is right there. If you are listening online, we'd love to have your comments and your suggestions on YouTube. Our YouTube channel is Higher Learning TV Show. Oh, and I also forgot to mention that every first Thursday of the month, it's the Westside Ministers Coalition monthly networking meeting. And if you want more information on that, you can just email me, info@higherlearningnetwork.org, and I will send you that information, or you can just look at the link below. The information is there. It is time to head out and about this morning. If you're headed out and about, it's probably just a little bit crazy outside. You saw what happened to me this morning. It's like nothing wanted to work this morning. So if you're headed out and about, do expect delays this morning. Your traffic and weather is sponsored by Karen Kelly of iTech.com. If you are looking to travel anywhere in the United States and abroad, you can do that by becoming a member of the Chicagoland iTex, and you simply go to iTex.com and click on, what do you click on? Oh, use the promo code Zelda, Z-E-L-D-A, duh, Zelda. Always giving thanks to the ancestors, Richard McGee, Herbie Kent, Yvonne Daniels, all those who came before us to make our way possible. So that's why I say Zelda, because Richard McGee used to call me that, because I relieved him when we were on 1390 when it was talk radio, and I'd be going off the air. And no, he'd be going off the air, and I'd be coming on, and people could never get my name right. So they used to call me Zelma, Zella, and all that stuff. He would say Zelda, so people would get it. So thank you, Richard. If you're headed out and about today, traffic and weather sponsored by Karen Kelly of iText.com. You can go to the website, iText.com, and put in the promo code Zelda and get your $100. Go shopping immediately. If you are a business owner or an entrepreneur in need of products or services, we bought cars, we bought camera equipment, anything you can think of that you can buy at Walmart, Target, Amazon, any of those, they have them iText. So, but it's for business owners and entrepreneurs. You got a product or service, then you are eligible. No delays reported on Metro or CTA this morning, but as we take a look at the Kennedy, it's another story. Inbound on the Kennedy, it is 39 minutes in, 25 minutes on the outbound. On the Eden's Lake, Cook to the Junction, it's 25 minutes in and 22 out. On the Eisenhower, that's another story. 43 minutes in, 31 minutes out. On the Stevenson, there are delays near the airport. You can always expect that. 29 in, 18 out. Forgot to mention that Roosevelt Road, that accident has been cleared up on the ice. On the Dan Ryan, it's 19 minutes in, 13 on the reverse. On the Bishop Ford, 11 in and 9 out. And the DuSable Lakeshore Drive, it is 10 minutes in both directions. And that earlier accident at Irving and Milwaukee car crash has been cleared up where a car ran into a building. So I know that's not good news, but it is the news. Be sure to set your TVs for, your DVRs for the Higher Learning Network TV show, which airs Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays at 1 on Channel 19, and 24/7 on the World Wide Web on higherlearningnetwork.org. And you can always find updates on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. And if you have been inside, like most of us have for a very long time, then you will know that chances are we may have eaten just a little bit more than we should have, and we may have gained a few pounds, and in doing so, we cause damage to our inner organs that we don't know anything about. That's how I became a diabetic, and I reversed type 2 diabetes. It took a while, but it can be done. I had to get off of metformin because it just messes with all your stuff in the inner organs. Anyway, go to diabeticdonut.com and download the free PDF on this nasty drink. I shouldn't say that, should I? This tasty drink that I drink every morning. Apple, beet, cucumber, lemon, ginger, kale, and turmeric. I drink it every morning. And God, it does wonders for the kidneys, the liver, the spleen, and the spine, all of them. But it works, okay? What can I tell you? So be sure and share that with us. And if you are joining us and you're listening online, you want to post your comments, you can do that at facebook.com/HLNTV1 and the Higher Learning TV Show. facebook.com/HLNTV1. And now it's time for your Monday morning mindfulness message of the day. And this is from Mike House. I get them from Mike House because I used to read from books, but his are so. I just got it here. Okay, here it is. April 25th, 2022. As I pray, I am acknowledging the omnipresence of God. I seek to honor and obey God, as will be speaking within me as the still small voice. As I pray, answers and solutions to challenges are revealed to me in the quietness of my soul. A wisdom, good judgment, guide me. I believe that I have the responsibilities of engaging in right thinking, right feeling, right words, right actions, and right reactions. And that is possible for me to live a long, healthy, and prosperous life. As I pray, my blind eyes are open to the truth of God in me. As I pray, areas of my subconscious mind receive light and enlightenment to see a clear path out of a troubling situation. As I pray, my deaf ears are unstopped so that I may hear the voice of the Lord as it speaks to me, reassuring me that I am its beloved child and heir to all that God is and has. As I pray, my mute tongue is loosened, and I sing praises and glorify my Father in me through my sharing with others. As I pray, I testify to the goodness of the Lord in my life, world, and affairs. Thank you, God, for hearing and showing me your glory in me as I pray. As Moses said, show me your glory, and I pray. Exodus 3:33-18. And that is your inspiration this morning from Mike House. If you don't know who Mike House is, Google him and get on his list. You'll be glad you did. And that, my friends, is your Monday morning mindfulness inspiration for the day. And now, I think you know what time it is. Ooh, it's 7:18. It's time for your Monday morning meditation. Monday morning mindfulness meditation. So what I'd like you to do is ask you to sit up straight in your chair, feet flat on the floor, nothing in your hands, nothing in your arms, and close your eyes. You should not be looking at me. You should only be looking at the inside of your eyelids, because this is something I want you to experience, and you cannot experience it fully if you're looking at me, because we want to deal with the senses and the vibrations and the energy of the body, okay? So let us become still, feet flat on the floor, nothing in your hands, nothing in your arms, and just listen to this sound. Take a deep breath. And listen to the vibrations. As we become still, we focus on the breath. As we begin the practice of inhaling through our nose, holding it, and exhaling. So let us begin together. Inhale deeply, eyes closed. Hold it. And exhale. Oh, that feels so good. See, if you breathe deep enough, you will feel that sensation all up in here. Let's do it again. Inhale deeply. Through the nose, hold it. And exhale. Oh, yes, that feels good. Inhale once more. Hold it. And as you exhale, bring your arms up and out and simply stretch and stretch. Oh, that butt like a cat does in the morning. Oh, yes. And I have a high back chair here, so I have a tendency to turn around, and you can turn around too. And let your core feel that stress. Yeah, that feels good. Uh-huh. Now let's turn around to the other side. If you have a high back chair, if you don't, it's okay. Just stretch. Oh, yeah, feel that stretch. You should feel that from the waist up. Ooh, yes, that feels good. And once more, bring those arms up and stretch and stretch and stretch. Ooh, yes, that feels good. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Now, I want you to place your hands on your sides and actually place them on your stomach. So when you breathe in, if you feel your stomach expand, you're breathing right. If you're not, you're not taking a deep enough breath so that you can get the momentum of what the breath has to offer. Inhale deeply. Hold it. Feel your stomach expand. And exhale. You should feel your chest expand too. Once more. Inhale deeply. Hold it. And exhale. Now let's bring the energy of that breath up to the top of the head. Inhale deeply. And as you exhale, feel the energy come down through the forehead, to the face, to the chin, and to the chest, and to the shoulders. Inhale once more. Hold it. And as you exhale, take your fingers and knead the back of the neck and the back of the shoulders, because that's where I hold all my stress, and just massage the neck, where the vagus nerve is. Feel free to take these three fingers and pinch that nerve, rub that nerve, massage that nerve, move that fluid around that's in the back of the neck. The vagus nerve will love you for that. Yes, vagus nerve, I love you, and I thank you for loving me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, honey, talk to your body parts. They hear you loud and clear. They talk to you too. You just say, listen. Okay, pain. I'm just saying. Inhale deeply. And as you exhale, continue to rub the back of your neck and your shoulders. And feel that energy flowing out from the back of your neck down to the chest, the solar plexus, as you inhale deeply. Hold it. And as you exhale, allow the energy of the breath to flow down through the chest and the stomachs and the sides and the buttocks and the back. And why are you moving from side to side, Zelda? It's called a higher learning hip roll, because sitting is the new smoking. So you always want to be in movement as much as you possibly can. As we inhale deeply, and hold it. And as we exhale, sending love, light, and energy down through the hips, yeah, and the thighs, yeah. Feel free to rub those thighs and on down to the knees. Inhale deeply. Sending more love and light and energy down through the knees. Oh, yes, those glorious knees, they may not be bothering you now, but baby, get to be a senior citizen, and I promise you, you may have a challenge or two. That's why we have to talk to our body parts. Inhale deeply. Giving thanks for the power of the breath as it goes down through our legs, ankles, arches. Ah, yes. Inhale deeply. And as we exhale, send more love and light and energy down through the heels. The bottom and the top of the feet and those toes. Yes, wiggle those toes. Those toes will make you smile as you send more love and light and energy back up through those toes as you inhale. Bringing the energy back up through the ankles and the arches and the instep and the heel and the ankles and the legs and back up to the knees. As we inhale and exhale, you don't have to inhale and exhale with me, but just breathe on your own. Inhale deeply. And exhale. Oh, that feels so good. Inhale once more. Bringing that energy back up through the knees and the thighs and the hips and the buttocks and the back. And as we inhale. And exhale, giving thanks for the movement, because someone somewhere is bedridden and cannot even move on their own. And look at you just moving all by yourself. What a blessing to be in a body that moves. As we inhale deeply, bringing that energy back up from the solar plexus and the back and the shoulders and the arms as we bring them out. As we inhale, And exhale. As we inhale. And exhale. Once more, as we inhale, bringing the breath back up to the face. And back up to the forehead. And to the top of the head. And we give thanks that we are in divine order, at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. Let's take one more long, last, deep inhale deeply. Hold it. And as we exhale, tilt the head forward, chin to chest, and slowly rotate the head to the left, bringing it around to the back. Slow down. You're moving too fast. And slowly bring it around to the right and back around to the front. Head up. Inhale deeply. And chin to chest. Slowly rotate the head to the right and back around. Might feel a little pop, but that's okay. That's just increments in your neck doing what it does. And slowly bring it back around to the front. Head up. Inhale deeply. And as you exhale, look to the left as far as you possibly can, feeling a stretch in the right of the neck. Oh, yes, that feels good. And bringing the head back around. Inhale once more. And as you exhale, turn the head to the right as far as you possibly can, feeling a stretch in the left side of the neck. Oh, yes, that feels good. Ah, yes. And bring the head back forward. And let's take one more long, deep inhale. This time, sending love, light, and energy to each and every part of the body. Let's begin with the brain. Inhale deeply. Giving thanks for the brain. The heart, the liver, and the lungs, and the spleen, and the spine, and all of the arteries, and the blood vessels, and the trillions of cells that are working on our behalf this morning, and we don't have to do anything but simply inhale. Hold it. And exhale. We give thanks for the power of the breath, because someone, somewhere, unable to breathe on their own. They may have a trachea in their throat or just have congestion issues or sinuses or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Lucky enough to be able to breathe on your own, so give thanks. And one of the most powerful things you can do is use these two words, two of the most powerful words on the planet. I am. And whatever you put out after those two words is entirely up to you. But for the purpose of this Monday morning mindfulness meditation, I would like to give thanks and say, I am grateful. And you can say whatever you want to say, or you can repeat it with me. I am happy. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just activated the happiness gene in your body. Feel it? Mm-hmm. Just glowing. Mm-hmm. Feeling all good this morning. I am happy, healthy, whole, and complete. And I am thankful for the breath that I breathe, for the movement in my body, the eyes that I see, and all is well in my world. And so it is. And that is something that you can practice on your own in a moment of chaos and confusion when people are all up in your face and don't know the color of your Kool-Aid. You tell them to, and they're going to look at you like you're crazy. And you say, if you got a little garlic or a little funk on your breath when you exhale, don't exhale through your mouth, through your nose. Exhale through your mouth. And if you forgot to brush your teeth, I promise you they go back up. They will not know what hit them. You give them a little funk. Let them be funkified early in the morning. Hallelujah. All righty now. So that is your Monday morning mindfulness meditation, in which you can see more on my blog, on my YouTube page, Zelda Speaks. And I also have another page, Zelda Speaks Mindfulness. So I hope you enjoyed Monday morning mindfulness meditation. And when you call in at 515-605-9325, press 1 to speak. Feel free to share with us how you felt this morning when you participated in the activity. Okay? If you enjoyed it, you can also call in at 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak. And we will take your call coming up in the 7:30, right after our commercial break. But right now, we're going to go to our commercial break, and we'll be right back.
And heard. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend. So she decides to list her products on QuickClick.
That is crazy. I tell you, it's Monday morning mindfulness. That's why I was given this assignment, because I knew there would be some challenges. And it's for me to share with you how to handle that stress. You just simply take a breath, hold it, and do whatever you need to do to make it right, as I make this right. So I'm always telling you how we're shopping for the homeless in order to get the butane that we need, right, to help keep them warm. So this is one of the activities that we post, because we stopped shopping at on Amazon because we can get paid with commission, and that commission goes directly to the homeless to buy butane and things that they need. So please watch this, share it, enjoy it, and share it.
Welcome to QuickClick, where customers can buy, share, and earn. Meet Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend. So she decides to list her products on QuickClick. On QuickClick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickClick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique QuickLink that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's QuickLink on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's QuickLink, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickClick and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But QuickClick is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickClick rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickClick makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. CJ of Valona Health, where we combine orthopedic manual therapy and neuroscience to treat the whole person. Health tip for the day is keep it moving. Doesn't matter how, just keep it moving, doing something you enjoy. Walking, dancing, rolling on the floor with your dogs or kids, really anything. The body craves movement to keep the bones, joints, and muscles happy. Even our mental health and internal organs and digestive system rely on our movements. Thanks for being a part of the Higher Learning Network on The Female Solution.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage, or give us a call at 646-359-6605, and we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Jackson, he is on his way, so just bear with us for a moment. He will be live. Congressional candidate Jonathan Jackson will be joining us, and I do believe he is here with us now as I bring on my co-host, Dr. Naima Latif of the Female Solution, executive producer of the Female Solution, and she will be introducing our illustrious guest. And there he is. Welcome, Jonathan Jackson, congressional candidate Jonathan Jackson, to the Female Solution.
Great to be here.
It's Monday morning. We expect nothing less. We are always having technical difficulties on a Monday morning. So I want to thank you.
Backyard, all these links.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, good Lord, what's next? Okay, well, we're very grateful for the young people, because it's the young people who keep us moving. And young people such as our executive producer, Naima Latif.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, call me a young person.
Yeah. Well, you are. You're not old until you're in your 80s, so you got at least 20
years
ago.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah.
So Naima was gracious enough to connect us with you, Jonathan, and I've been knowing you. I used to work out with your dad at the, Naturally Fit, where fitness is natural, Cornell McClellan down there on Racine and Jackson. And then here comes, Lord have mercy, Barack Obama, what's his name, and Michelle Obama. We were, I was working out with Michelle. I didn't know that her husband was Barack, and she's telling me things, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, we just share things. Like, anyway, long story short, your dad encouraged me to keep going to the gym after I became a workout dropout, so kudos to Reverend Jesse Jackson. Yes. So, Naima, this experience is one that we have all been looking forward to, and can you tell us why this morning?
Well, one of the things that impressed me as I heard our guest candidate for 1st Congressional District, Congressman Jonathan Jackson, one of the things that impressed me about his presentation was the ability to connect the dots in terms of how the laws that are made in Congress affect us on a local level. And since he's been a college professor and an advocate for human rights and justice, he's able to see things in a broader perspective, and certainly a world traveler in working with his father, but more importantly, being able to break things down so that the average person understands how government works. And I think that's one of the key things, people not really understanding who does what and how all of these things interconnect. So I wanted us to present 1st Congressional District candidate Jonathan Jackson to our audience today for all of those, not only in the 1st Congressional District, but all of those who never really took civics or had civics available in school, to understand how this works and why who you elect makes a difference. So thank you so much, Jonathan Jackson, for coming on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show today.
No, thank you. Thank you so much. Honored to be here.
So for those who don't know, tell us a bit about your experiences that motivate you to decide to take your knowledge and take it to Congress where people could benefit.
Well, thank you. I'm Jonathan Jackson, running for Congress in the 1st Congressional District, born and raised in Chicago. Currently reside in the same house across the street from my parents that I grew up in. Went to Northwestern for business school, went to North Carolina A&T State University for undergraduate, studied finance, went to Whitney Young on the, now I guess it's West Side or West Loop. Things have changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. I've had a career in financial institutions and in investment banking, commercial banking. After leaving Northwestern, I went to Seaway Bank with Mr. Al Boutte, got a bank training analyst program, worked at Drexel Burnham in Los Angeles in high yield finance, also worked at Chicago Board of Trade, started off as a runner, and ultimately ended up buying into residential real estate. I wanted to see the full spectrum of finance, and that was a goal that I achieved. I've been civically minded ever since growing up with my mother, father, family. So I've made picket lines. I've walked picket lines. I'm not ashamed to be on a picket line. I know what it means to be on the outside trying to open doors. And now I want to be on the inside keeping the doors open.
All right.
Inside of government, because I know the leverage that they have that personnel in the activist community on the outside need to have access to on the inside. I also know there's a flow of information on the inside that we need to have shared with us so that we can be educated and understand the greater opportunities within there. So why am I running? Congressman Bobby Rush has had a great career, 30 years in the Congress. On January 3rd, he announced he wasn't running. I never thought about running for this first congressional seat. Didn't have my mindset on a political office, but always maintained myself in a way that I could run for public office in the future. And by January 4th, a question was asked me, would I consider, I didn't kill the rumor, so the rumor grew and became a bit of a draft movement, and so I accepted that. So by February 7th of 2022, I made the announcement I was running. March 7th, the petitions were due. I turned in the most petitions in the least amount of time, over 3,000, with a volunteer workforce. And so, although having been close to this arena and not sought to put my name on the ballot, I've gone through a learning curve that has been tremendous. And so, I've learned a lot. And the issues that I'm facing are, the first district's in pain. It's in great pain. Our society's in great pain. And there's a storm cloud coming. So I'm not doom and gloom. I'm just choosing to light a candle and not curse the dark. And if I saw someone that was more qualified, capable, able, experienced to do this job, I would have accepted them. But here's a time where I feel as if I have to step up and just take my work from being a national spokesman of the Rainbow, having been a professor at Chicago State, a teacher at Kinsey King College, a guest commentator giving political economic opinion on VON for many years. Now I got to take it to the floor of the Congress. That it's a highly divisive and partisan environment right now. There's 223, I believe, Democrats, 212 Republicans, somewhere around there. If we lose 12 seats or so, the House flips. That means Maxine Waters is no longer the chair of the Banking Committee. That means Benny Thompson is no longer chair of Homeland Security. That means Nancy Pelosi is no Speaker of the House. There's a group called the 52 percenters in the Congress, and these are 25 people that won their race less than 52% of the vote.
Wow. What?
So just, there are 25 people that have won with 51% of the vote. They are hanging on a thin thread.
Hmm.
And so our obligation is not only to lift this district, we have to go and defend other congressional people that are on the margins of losing their district. So there's so many things like that, elaborate on the Build Back Better plan. $1.2 trillion have been allotted, designated for development around the country. I know if we're not in there monitoring it, our community will receive nothing again. And so I want to make sure that African Americans and women are able to get their contract compliance. COVID has taught us so many things about the lack of hospitalization in our neighborhoods. The government is one-sixth of the spending now. One-sixth of our U.S. economy is now tied to hospitalization and health care. And we are in a desert. Quite a few of the hospitals in the city of Chicago, in the 1st Congressional District, don't even have maternity wards in the city. There are things like this that I've found out that have to be exposed. And whoever the next congressperson is, I would tell you they have to have the credentials, they have to have the commitment, and they also have to have the compassion to be in this seat. We have to put compassion back on the floor as well as willingness to fight. So it's a duality, but we can do it.
Mm.
Definitely. Well, one of the things that is critical is the fact that you have a background in finance.
Mm.
But many of our cities that are struggling because industries have left, and that those were the industries that provided major jobs. Like even in Chicago, we see whole neighborhoods have been decimated when industries left, went abroad, relocated, and nothing has been replaced. So on a congressional level, how do we change the money flow? How do we create new industries and make people available to work in them? Especially because in our schools, many of our schools are not preparing young people with real skills for this economy. So legislatively, how do you see changing that situation and creating industries that can actually revitalize the cities that have been decimated?
Well, government can help with the incentives. Illinois is a donor state. We give out more money to the federal government than we return, than is returned to us.
Mm.
Make sure we can recapture all the dollars that we can coming back into our region. And the second thing is we have to look at this not as simply a district, but as a region. The Ford Motor and Ford Heights is not in the district or the first district, but it's in the region. We have to care about it. We have to care about what's happening with steel in Northwest Indiana. So it's not a district, it's a region. It's how economics flow. People leave from the south suburbs to go working in the northwest suburbs every day, traveling 20, 30, 40 miles each way. So we have to be concerned about economic strength in the region. And we also have to have a vision for the future. I would tell the students, it's hard to miss an opportunity if you weren't looking for it. And can't say you missed an opportunity if you never saw it.
Mm.
So our congressional leadership has to start right now with seeing the future and having a vision for it. The combustible engine is going away. Electronic vehicles, the electric vehicle is here, not tomorrow, today, it's now. Something big happened in the last year. Ford Motor Company announced that it is making an $11 billion investment in West Tennessee. Ford Motor Company left West Tennessee in 1952, 70 years ago. Now they are going back. They've got a sprawling campus, maybe 4,000 workers and 6,000 jobs are coming and more things are going to happen. There's going to be a direct spend and there's going to be indirect spend. They're going to have the battery manufacturing. They're going to have the battery recycling. They're going to have all these it's tooled up. Why did that miss our region? We already have a Ford plant. They're going to build a brand new plant. I want to make sure that our region is more hospitable for industry, that we're hearing them when they say what they want to do. We already have the intermodal way for the rail and for the road and for the air. Like, how did we miss that $11 billion investment in our, in our region? And the other thing that's significant about that is you've heard of the trans plans or the automotive companies that put companies in the South that have no union agreements. Ford Motor Company, with their $11 billion investment, is bringing the United Auto Workers to the South. Union jobs are going to the South. As a consequence of COVID and the global supply disruption change, now you've got manufacturing, you've heard of offshore. They're going to do onshoring. They're going to bring some of those manufacturing jobs back. We should make sure that we're aligned with that. And how do we do that? We have to make sure our community college system is strong for those that need certificate. We have to make sure our education is available and affordable to make sure we cap those costs. The federal government has something to say about student loan debt. What I'd like to see is the principal remain, and I'd like to see the interest purged, eliminated. The interest should not exceed the principal on these student loan debts. We should look at our students as national security and making sure they can afford to go to school. So I've got a lot of ideas on that workforce development, bringing the jobs back in, and making sure the federal government gives assistance to the municipality and to the state for the things they're asking for to help them attract jobs and industry and housing and healthcare.
We've got a few comments, and we've got to take some questions, too, because the lines are lit up, Jonathan. Our Tuesday morning host, Jody Susan, says, Grand Rising, beautiful people.
I love it.
And our Friday host, Vieta Robinson, my sister from another mister, says, no maternity hospitals. It's time to build and promote birthing centers that educate and provide true maternal care. Yeah, that was a subject on one of the shows, wasn't it, Naima?
Yeah, yesterday they talked about that, and then that's something we'll talk about later after the break, some of the new ways we can deal with health care that I think are more pro-health as opposed to the sick care that seems to be pro-profit. So let's see, we got a couple of minutes before we take a break. Did you want to take one of the calls?
Yeah.
Or
773-263, you are live on the Female Solution. Grand Rising, what's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your comment or question for Jonathan Jackson?
My name is Rashida Ali. I'm calling from Chicago. My question is, if you register, well, not if you, I did register with the Department of Defense and the Department of Labor to create jobs for hires. From my work, I received the and became the plan holder for all the federal buildings, including the new post office in Chicago. And I worked on negotiating those contracts. They were mailed to me. Okay. I had to read specification. My question, I'm going to ask my question, but I
should
read me.
Rashida.
I need to ask him a question. Don't cut me off, please. That's an important to me.
I need you to listen, dear, because you are not coming through clear. We cannot understand what you are saying. Can you now see?
Okay. Well, she needs to adjust her sound. She can maybe either take it off speaker, put it on speaker, something.
Take it off speaker. Okay. Thank you. Sorry. Can you hear me better?
Can you all hear her better?
Nothing. Hello?
Try to adjust.
I took it off a speaker.
Ow.
Hello?
Very muffled.
So,
I don't know if you need to put your phone on.
You know something important to me? It always turned out like this.
Okay, can you please be quiet for just a moment and listen to what Naima is saying? Can you do that, Rashida?
Of course.
Okay. Your voice is coming through very muffled, so we can't hear the words you're saying. So what we need you to do, I don't know if you have your phone on speaker, or have it off speaker, but whatever it is, do the opposite and speak slowly and clearly because we can't understand what you're saying. So we need you to fix the volume on your phone, maybe put it on speaker, or if you have it on speaker, take it off speaker, but whatever it is, we need to be able to hear you speak clearly. So speak slowly, clearly, and adjust the sound on your phone, and then we'll see if we can hear what you're saying.
Yes.
So start over from the beginning.
Okay.
I can hear you. Can you hear her? Can you understand her now?
Okay. Start again.
Okay. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
That's better.
Much better.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Start
My
over.
My question is, I really want to explain about a personal experience because it affected me. I became a registered Defense Department contractor, and I researched and wrote a trade that was included in the Davis-Bacon Act. I did it to create work for hire through the Department of Labor. From that work that I did, I received and became the only plan holder in Region 5. My question is, I was not compensated, and that was service because I even received the blueprints to and negotiated the contract for the new post office in Chicago and the U.S. Custom Building. And all the federal buildings in the region, the plans, specifications, modifications, and amendments were even read and signed by me. Problem, after receiving that and doing work to create work for hire through the Department of Labor, where I held my blueprints was where I worked from, and that was the house of my ex-fiance, but I didn't live there. During that time, somebody killed him and took all of my blueprints and specifications. Is there a way that I can probably bill for my services, even though the blueprints were mailed to me under my private foundation, which is a nonprofit, but the contracts were negotiated through that, but me as an independent contractor. Is there a way that I can bill for my services, even though I did not have the workers, the veterans, work on the building, but the federal government did hire veteran contractors to do my negotiated contract? Because I'm suffering now. I'm very homeless now. I have no help from not the government or even my so-called friends And I need to know, can I bill on a 291 or something to receive from that? Because I'm still registered. Can I bill for my services rendered? Because the workers that I had, and I didn't have the
get this straight. So you're
can I bill? Can I bill? Can I bill? Can you hear me? Can I bill for services?
So you're saying that you negotiated a government contract under your organization that was registered as, I guess, what, a minority contract or whatever the case may be. And so you negotiated the contract, workers were hired, but someone else got paid and you didn't. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Excellent interpretation. Yes.
That you created, and you didn't get paid. So,
I didn't
get paid,
Larry. Yes, exactly.
Okay,
exactly. Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so can we respond to that?
Do you understand the question?
Do you understand the question, Jonathan?
Not really,
yeah.
It's a little bit complicated, Rashida,
yeah.
Because I think...
Okay, I'll make it real simple for him, because it was complicated for me to even train people because they didn't understand either. I read all the specifications for the work that I did, Congressman. And as a federal contractor, I held blueprints, but... I created work for hire. I did the work, signed specification modifications, did the negotiations for the contract, and received as a plan holder under a nonprofit status. Me as independent contractor working for the government received the specification blueprint. So I had to work, read, and negotiate contracts. I received, but I was never compensated. Now, I do know that we can bill, but now that they don't have contracting officers working inside the federal buildings anymore, I don't know what to do.
Oh, she does not know what to do. That's the issue.
No, I don't know what to do to get paid. I need to do that.
Contract. She does not understand why she's not getting paid, so... I'm not sure how Jonathan can answer that question, but maybe he can.
That's a form.
To the lawyer, if you've got property that was seized, taken, and someone else has fraudulently used, I would say that's a legal matter that would probably need some additional information. It sounds like that I'd have to have much more information.
Yeah.
It does sound like a legal matter, Rashida, because you're talking about someone taking something that was legally yours, whether it's fraudulent or whatever, but a lawyer would have to pursue that and get all of your documentation to prove that case. That's what it sounds like. But anyway, it's time for a quick break, and then we'll come back and take some more calls. And if you're watching us on YouTube or Facebook, write in your comments, and we will address them and share them with our listening audience.
And there's the information. If you have questions for Jonathan Jackson, you can post them on YouTube.com, Higher Learning TV Show, or Facebook.com, HLNTV1. Yeah, post them online. That way, if you have a connection problem, I can read the question. So let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
With a Place of Peace pop-up from Susan Essentials, you are able to increase productivity, mental acuity, leaving you with higher energy and peace in just 20 minutes. We pop up at our office or yours.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Good morning, mindfulness. Our guest today is none other than the one and only congressional candidate, Jonathan Jackson. And I am joined by executive producer Naima Latif of The Female Solution. And before we went to break, Naima, that first commercial that I played about world peace, would you expound on that just a little bit before we continue?
Well, one of the things that I'm looking forward to in this congressional district is having someone connect with what has been a very powerful global peace movement with the organization Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light, the acronym HWPL, initials HWPL. And this organization started in South Korea by Chairman Man Hee Lee, who was a Korean War veteran, has developed a platform over several years. They've been holding global peace summits in South Korea. I've attended two of them, and I was surprised that it seemed that America was not aware that this movement is happening and that they have a document called the Declaration of Peace and Cessation of War. And it has been presented to governments around the world who have signed on some basic steps to ensure that governments choose to negotiate when there are differences as opposed to taking up arms. America and a few other, the United States and a few other countries have not signed on to this, but many others have around the world. And it really just makes sense. In these times of nuclear armament, there is no winnable war. You know, whoever starts war, it stands to possibly blow up the world. So there is no winnable war. And, you know, one of the things that I'd be interested to know is what do you see as a possibility of shifting America's war industry to more of a peace negotiating position. And I know it's a big deal because you look at who gets paid whenever there's a war. I mean, just look at who manufactures arms. You know, it doesn't matter to them who wins, you know, both sides of their clients. So how do we change that trajectory so that we really are not promoting mass killing through war and are really connecting with people who are trying to establish peace as a way of life globally?
I think you raise a great question, and this mindset has to be taken to the halls of Congress. I've gone on several international peace missions with my father, Reverend Jesse Jackson, the first of which was to secure the release of Lieutenant Robert Goodman in Damascus, Syria, under President Hafez Assad. I was 18 years of age, and when we met President Hafez Assad and at that time, Mr. Rumsfeld, who was working for President Reagan, had been there two times and had never even asked about the release of Lieutenant Goodman to be returned, a U.S. soldier that was flying reconnaissance mission over Syria and was taken down. So I know that leadership that I've experienced with my father has to step in the gap. You have to be willing to have a clean heart and be willing to get your hands dirty. Peace is an initiative. I like the quote of Reverend Martin Luther King that silence is not the presence peace is not the presence of silence, but justice is the presence of peace. And so we have to be willing to fight for peace, if you will, meaning being vigorous and having initiative and being willing to stand against the crowd, not follow opinion polls, but mold opinion when you know better. You have to be willing to lead. So I'm very much committed to that. And then in 1991, when we went to Iraq to talk with President Saddam Hussein, we were in the castle, just a peaceful delegation, ecumenical, with just a Bible and faith, believing my father could avert a world war. And I oftentimes think of that, because that's $6 trillion later that we've been in Iraq, $6 trillion later since 1991, from embargoes and boycotts and military attack. It's been the longest war in American history. And I oftentimes ask myself, what if peace had won the day? What if so much instability and calamity in that region could have been resolved? But when leaders don't talk, that is a problem. That's a vacuum. Fear emerges. So I think a no-talk policy is wrong. We have to be able to measure human rights by one yardstick and have to be willing to be on the front end of being the peacekeepers and the peacemakers. Willing to keep up the edge in the interest of a great alliance. And I do think that we're in a bubble, unfortunately, in our perspective. We're talking about the East versus the West. There's the North and there's the South. The globe is spherical. It's not linear. It's not East and West. I think that we're missing a huge opportunity. And there's a new reality. Prior to this global pandemic, you were hearing about the emergence of BRIC, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, which would have half the world's population. Americans are less than 5% of the world's population, and the Russians are less than 3% of the world's population. Europe and the Americans getting together is a minority conference, not the majority conference in the world. And there are realities that we have to face going forward. There are a lot of dynamics that are going on in the Gulf states and the Middle East that we're not talking about. Africa, with South African president was asked to weigh in and potentially be a peace broker between the Russians and Ukrainians, but that's something that has escaped our news cycle. So other people around the world have weighed in, and we have to have that perspective. The congressional representative for the 1st District has an obligation to understand what's going on in the Ukraine as they do resettlement here. With Afghanistan, as they do settlement here. And I've gone down the border with Reverend Al Sharpton and Reverend Jamal Brunt, Reverend Freddie Haynes, to confront what was happening with Haitians when they were met with a whip and a horse and put in a dust bowl and saw women having delivering babies out there in a dust bowl underneath a bridge. So why were 14,000 Haitians turned away and 60,000 Afghan refugees accepted and 100,000 Ukrainians? We have to fight for humane policies and be willing to go to the point of conflict to fight for humanity.
I'm so glad your verbiage is so clever. That's why I know this is a businessman. I love what you said about escape the news cycle. Escape the news cycle. They're programming us from television. I digress. But that escaped. Anyway, I'd like to go back to the point you made, the $6 trillion is spent on war abroad, all this money that we're sending abroad, but at home, we've got people here at home. If they spent $1 trillion on the people at home, we've got homeless people. The Higher Learning Network, we help the homeless.
You just froze a little bit. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
I can hear you.
Nonprofit organization I work with, the higherlearningnetwork.org, we help the residents in Tent City and other tent cities throughout the city. But my question is, how can we spend $6 trillion abroad when we can't even find housing and shelter and food, the basic necessities of life for people here at home in America? Homeless is such a big issue. Now, I had no idea until my little brother, Douglas Robinson, was murdered in Tent City in February of 2019. And that brought the plight of the homeless to my attention because I'm going over there giving them food and things. I had no idea there were so many homeless children, veterans, women. So my question is, what can you do in Congress to help bring more money to the homeless to the United States?
Well, as I had stated, you have to have the credentials, experience, the commitment, the willing to fight, and compassion. This is an issue that deserves compassion.
Yes.
It's a word we've not heard that much about. And I interact with persons that are homeless. I know they weren't born that way. I know life circumstances have happened. And we have to be compassionate. Some people say, I'm going to work, and they're not working and become mean and hostile towards homeless people. We have to recognize mental trauma. We have to recognize people that need assistance and care for them. That's an obligation we have as a society. We also have not only just the homelessness, those that are sleeping on the trains and in the buses and public places and trying to find shelter. We have a housing burden. People that are living with our loved ones that cannot afford to live on their own. We have to confront both of them at the same time. And for that, we're talking about the Department of HUD has something to say about it. The city of Chicago and Cook County, which the first district resides in, has the largest land bank of any county in the country, Cook County land bank. So there are thousands of units. We need to look at this anew, and how do we put these vacant lots back on the rolls? How do we have a federal housing program that lets us rebuild? 261,000 African Americans have been moved from this region in the first two decades of the new millennium. That's almost ethnic cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
That is just wrong. And so when I see these vacant lots, I don't get excited thinking that they could cost a dollar or something. I think of parents that were proud to be homeowners that might have bequeathed them, turned them over to their children, that might not have been able to keep them up, that might have been overcharged in their mortgage through predatory loans, that might have left because of violence, that eventually the property goes in disrepair, and then it gets abandoned and has to be torn down. That's generational wealth that was just taken away from us. We have to confront that. Those persons that were overcharging subprime loans, meaning people that qualified for a better loan didn't get it. I need to be very clear and very precise on that language. Many of those persons, African Americans that qualified for a better loan, did not receive it. It was not offered to them. We have to take those vestiges of sharecropping out of our financial institutions, to make sure that people are given their fair level of credit. We can't pay too much money for too little capital. Being overcharged, sharecropping made anew.
I can tell you about some sharecropping because people sometimes don't believe me, but yeah, I picked cotton as a child, so I know a little bit about sharecropping.
I think that's very important that you share that because I oftentimes remark, not that long ago, not that far away.
Yes, sir.
That a gap is happening in our community that I hope we re-engage the conversation is Reverend Martin Luther King died 54 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. Mrs. Ruby in the Little Rock is in her mid-60s when the state troopers had to stand in the doorway guard a young child.
Yes,
it's not that long ago.
No, sir.
And many of the persons that wrote those policies went on to have children and grandchildren that are still in power that we don't call by the name. And their spiritual guide children showed up on January 6th to invalidate an election. It's unbroken continuity. So for those of us that appreciate my father, Reverend Jesse Jackson, stood, worked, and was honored to be a part of Reverend Martin Luther King. He was on that balcony when King was assassinated.
Yes, sir.
That spirit still remains for those that are moving in King's direction and for those that have opposed the work of Reverend Martin Luther King and civil rights workers. So, and unfortunately, many of those that oppose have gone up higher in the Congress, and some of those that have the Confederate conspiracy actually became president.
Deborah Smith, our third Saturday host, says, will you be willing to support this educational opportunity here in the first district?
First district.
What's
the educational opportunity? In general, education and opportunity, yes. So, was there something, what's the educational opportunity?
She did.
If you want to...
Well, let me tell you, on educational opportunity, speaking in broad terms, we've got to have our community college fully funded and our universities as well as our elementary education. Life options start getting reduced at the elementary level. And what you're going to find out what's happened in COVID is the benchmark years of third grade, fifth grade, and eighth grade, our children have missed them an increasing and an alarming number. The second grader that missed his benchmark year, her benchmark year, that's going back to school in fourth and fifth grade, their reading is not simply a year off. It's several years off now. The fifth grader that missed his benchmark year because he was at home, at Zoom, housing burden areas, going back to seventh grade. The seventh grader didn't have a counselor that in some ways might have been socially promoted is going into high school, not adjusted, acclimated, and to ninth grade and maybe even potentially 10th. The 11th grader, the first time a person looking to go to college, didn't have their counselor, had a Zoom graduation, has now aged out of the public school system, might not have filled out their trade school paperwork, is now 19 years old. 16-year-olds have not had driver's ed in 2 years. And so there are people that are now 18 that couldn't have driver's ed for the last 2 years. And so part of what I'm saying is the compassion. We've got to hit the floor of the Congress and tell other persons that don't have this problem in their district what's happening in ours and why they should care about it and what we need them to do. So we have to go there with an understanding of what they know, what they don't know, try to influence them to bring back more resources. So there's going to be a generation, this generation, which is going to have a lower livelihood and life standard than the previous generation, got battered in 2000 when the internet collapsed and those stocks, and 2008 when their mortgages collapsed, and 2019 with the COVID. So we have to look at a generation that's going to need some specific help. I like the Biden administration's language, not only on the Build Back Better, but they also had another component that called human infrastructure. We have to go rebuild this human infrastructure. Having been a teacher and a professor, I know it takes 18 years to build a human being up. We have not invested in these children, these young adults at the appropriate level in over 50 years.
Wow.
Have musical instruments. They should have the full array of athletics, women and tennis and golf and basketball and swimming. We need to open these schools back up fully. There are scholarships to Division I schools that our children right here in the city of Chicago cannot take advantage of because they don't have swimming pools. They don't have tennis instructors. They don't have volleyball instructors. It's so much more than basketball. The baseball field closed. I went to Whitney Young High School. We had a football team. That's now gone. We used to hear about football teams at Julian and DuSable and Roberson, and we used to be able to get together on the field. And now that those scholarships are taken away because we don't have enough coaches. So I believe in how one of the ways we expand public safety with policing is we also hire more coaches and teachers and musicians so the children can find their way. We want to fully fund schools to put them back in there. These schools in so many ways are a shell, and the teachers are fairly being blamed for a community and a culture and a society that is not investing in its children.
They're blaming the teachers. That's right. We got a couple of calls.
Yeah, because he's leaving in 5 minutes.
He's
leaving in 5 minutes. Let's go to the phone.
He's leaving in 5 minutes. So what we need you to do is state your question real quick. Maybe take both questions, and then in the last minute we can answer both of them. So,
okay.
Open the mic.
773-521. What's your question? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Good morning. How you doing, John Jackson? I'm a Cherokee Indian here in Illinois, in America. We're out here playing Monopoly, and when you play Monopoly, you get land. You heard of Andrew Jackson, president? He created an executive order and gave white folks land. Yeah. 145 million acres. What are we going to do as far as land acquisition in this state? That's
okay,
what it's all about.
Okay,
land acquisition.
And land acquisition. Let's get this other caller in so you can answer them both in 773-221.
The world is undergoing a global currency reset. We're quickly moving from the SWIFT system to the quantum financial system. I remember, John Jackson, you mentioned Operation Push exhorting the then Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin, to print up all of these Harriet Tubman Federal Reserve paper notes. Do you still believe that there is some benefit in printing up Harriet Tubman $20 Federal Reserve paper notes with no intrinsic value?
Did you get that, Jonathan?
No. Are we going to print the Harriet Tubman $20 bill?
Oh, that's overdue. I pray that should have been in our pocket. They've got certain slave owners on certain bills. It's long overdue that they should have
Yes.
Tubman and a true American veteran, soldier. I don't like to call her a spy. I like to call Harriet Tubman a counterintelligence agent.
Yeah.
Help navigate America towards democracy. So absolutely, I pray for that quickly. I didn't catch the first question. You said land acquisition.
Yeah, what kind of legislation would you put together to help with more land acquisition of those who've lost their land, like you mentioned?
That's a great question. We've got to repair that reach. Some people lost it in mortgages. Some people have lost it way to Tulsa through government action. I think we have to make the nation whole. We got all on the table. What happened in Tulsa, for example, that's not an issue of reparations. We know the plots of land and so forth. That's a matter of returning the land that was stolen. Those heirs are still alive, very discreet, very focused, and that's a separate action. Reparations, that's a separate conversation. Those have been overcharged mortgages that big banks have been able to acquire and purchase. That's a separate action. So we're not a monolithic group, and I think we have to take on the issue of justice in our equity, justice in our employment. So, and they become more complex. We have to take the time and unthread this spool of yarn, if you will, of legal issues that have been taken. In short, it's whole generation, wholesale theft. That's one of the tenets of slavery, is that a generation is continuously robbed, and that's what we saw happen in the mortgages. That wasn't a debacle. That was very precise on who got hurt and who got hit the hardest.
Mm. And we know it's 8:29. Did you have a question that you wanted to ask? 515-605-9325. This is your last chance to ask the question. Jonathan has to leave. Naima, you wanted to ask a question. Oh, we've got a comment here.
One last question while you're pulling up the
HWPL program. Yeah, we already.
We did talk about that and the fact that we've actually just partnered with them to do a homeschooling program, and one of the classes is peace education, and they've actually set up peace schools around the world teaching some of the principles you talked about, compassion, negotiation, and again, the United States has been resistant to offer that as part of its educational program in the schools. So one last thing, and then of course you can give us your contact information. What is your thought on empowering people who want to create more homeschooling opportunities to fill in the gaps for what the public schools are refusing to do or not capable of doing and not willing to do? What are your thoughts on that?
Mm-hmm.
In general, I'm a huge advocate of the public schools that are fully funded, not these schools that have been defunded and divested from. Homeschooling works, and I am certainly a champion of that as well. Top of mind comes the work of Richard Williams, that those young ladies were incredible job in their homeschooling. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
One second, but you can hear you now.
Yeah, the Williams sisters are homeschooled. That's a clear example that it works. They've been number one their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
They were taught by their father,
mm-hmm.
who picked up a book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, black men do read. He picked up a book. He couldn't learn tennis from an instructor or play on a court in his lifetime in Louisiana, but he found a way where there's a will, and they've had an exemplary life. When I think of young men that left the high school, that were ready for the pros and start on a professional career, of LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett. They've had an outstanding career coming out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
So some children and young adults are ready for that level of development. Some aren't. Homeschooling, I think, should be a greater opportunity. And to augment, assist them, we need to make sure the government has fully funded libraries in the community, athletic and other programs, so that the parents that are teaching the rudimentary skills also have all of the other athletic, all the other cultural institutions around them that are fully functioning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not reasonable that the parent teaches the core curriculum and does the athletics and does the school. No, but a neighborhood should be alive. Some of this can be with grants that are going towards cities and communities to hire these coaches in the summertime. Coaches are struggling. And in this city in particular, my heart goes out to the coaches. Think about it. If you were to be a tennis instructor or a volleyball or swim or basketball, and you had to have it on your heart to take on the safety responsibility for these children, leaving their homes to get to your school and get back home in the summertime, it's heartbreaking. It's hard. You don't want to bring a child out in harm and danger. So you would be more inclined not to even offer that service because you don't want to hear about one child getting hurt. We've got to confront this gun violence.
Yes, sir.
40-some people shot in Chicago over the weekend. I know businesses and nightclubs and others that are refusing to open this summer. They feel danger coming on. They're afraid. They don't want to be blamed. And that also hurts a landowner. You don't want to assume responsibility if someone got hurt in your facility. You didn't open up and provide that opportunity to even imagine something like that can happen. I've experienced that personally at a facility I own at 4641 South King Drive, where the operators had an incident where someone had gotten killed in there. And you just want to keep the building closed and shut down. So the violence affects us all, and those are jobs that are lost, and insurance is owed and property taxes is owed, and it's driving people out of our region. So we've got to turn those economics back around. But with this $1.2 trillion spend that's coming our way, we have a chance to rebuild some things, and we need to make sure that we're on the floor and have the oversight so those dollars aren't passed over us, as they oftentimes do, saying we're not ready. Well, if we're not ready, joint venture with us, make us ready.
Right.
Okay, we have to have a new attitude towards this so we're not left behind.
Absolutely.
Well said. It is so refreshing to have some young, fresh spirits in the house that can represent the people, and he just said goodbye. Thank you so much. He had to go with it.
Before you go, make sure you give us your contact information for those who want to get involved in your campaign or, get back in touch with you, invite you on some more shows. How do people reach you in your campaign all?
Jonathan Jackson for Congress, F-O-R, Jonathan Jackson for Congress. We're at 8658 South Cottage Grove, over the 7th. It's Saturday and 12 to 5
8858 South Cottage Grove?
8658
Jonathan Jackson, 10 seconds. What are your thoughts about the third gas giveaway with the Dr. Willie Wilson Foundation that happened over this weekend and all the times that he's been doing before? What's your thought on that?
Awesome. He's sensitive and caring, and that's great. We're lucky to have a philanthropist like Reverend Dr. Willie Wilson to be willing to. Dr. Wilson says, I have enough money. You know, I like getting my money to the poor. I don't want to be great. People need this in their pocket. But that we are. I didn't get it before. I think to fill up myself.
He broke up, but I heard you said I didn't get there to get any gas myself. I heard that much. Well, don't feel bad. You are not alone. Thank you so much, congressional candidate Jonathan Jackson. Please give the Jackson family our love. I sent Tita a note this morning when she was on the show. I said, we're going to have your brother Jonathan on this morning. I hope you don't mind. So thank you, Jonathan. Continue the work that you do. We love you, appreciate you. And in your moments where you are tired and say, I can't do this more, no more, just know the prayer words. We got your back, baby. That's all you need to know. All right?
Love you.
Love you, too. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Jonathan. And all the updates about Jonathan Jackson and his office, everywhere he's going to be, if you want to volunteer, you want to get involved, please feel free to do that. The updates will be on zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. As we go to our commercial, it is frozen. Everything wants to freeze. They didn't want Jonathan to leave. Jonathan, you got to come back. Well, we're just going to go to commercial break, so you stay close. We'll be right back. And we'll have
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. We are a part of the online network of Associated Internet Radio hosts, On Air. On Air empowers you with transformative news and interactive radio TV shows. This is such a wonderful time to be alive and to see our human family coming together as one community as a result of that powerful tool, the Internet. We can now talk directly to each other all over the world. There's no need for conflict or misunderstanding. There's no need for violence to solve our differences. We can talk to each other face to face until we reach an agreement. On Air offers a fantastic global guide to communicators from all over the world who are using their internet platforms to inspire us to strive to be our best selves in order to become the kind, compassionate, loving people we were all born to be. Once we do that, we'll see planet Earth transformed into a place of peace. Subscribe to the recommended YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and podcasts created by these Voices of Enlightenment. On Air provides daily news briefs and a weekly magazine to keep you abreast of events and opportunities. On Air news affiliates in television, radio, and print share information, insight, and interviews with notable personalities. Go to onaireverywhere.com. for a daily dose of uplifting news. We're on air everywhere, online all the time.
And we're on air everywhere, online all the time. Now I have a video to show you because I am tired, and I know you're probably tired too, of being taken advantage of and not participating in the opportunities that are available for you. Now, for those of you who know that I work with the higherlearningnetwork.org, where we teach youth behind the scenes radio, television, and print production, we're always looking for ways to raise funds for the organization as well as our homeless project, which you can see.
Sam. Sam owns an e-commerce business that sells athletic shoes and running gear. Sam wants to increase her sales without increasing marketing spend, so she decides to list her products on QuickLick. On QuickLick, her loyal customers can get paid for sharing her products with their friends. Sam uploads her products to the marketplace, just like she would on Amazon or Shopify. Meet Laura. Laura is in the market for a new pair of shoes and comes across Sam's brand on the QuickLick marketplace. Laura is able to purchase the shoes and check out like she would on any other e-commerce site. After purchasing, Laura receives a unique QuickLink that she can share with friends to begin earning Quick Cash. Her friend Jessica opens Laura's QuickLink on her phone and purchases a pair of shoes. Because Jessica purchases using Laura's QuickLink, Laura receives Quick Cash in her account. After purchasing, Jessica can now share her own QuickLink and begin earning Quick Cash as well. But QuickLink is more than just your typical referral or affiliate platform. QuickLink rewards customers for sales they directly and indirectly influence. So, for every sale Jessica's new QuickLink makes, Laura will earn additional Quick Cash as well, making the potential for earning exponential. Laura and Jessica can transfer their Quick Cash balance to their bank account at any time, or can even use Quick Cash to make additional purchases in the app. Meanwhile, Sam can just watch as the sales roll in. Best of all, she doesn't have to worry about costs, since she is only spending marketing dollars when actual purchases are made. Start buying, sharing, and earning today at QuickClick.com.
And all you have to do is go to higherlearningnetwork.org and you will see the information there. And the reason why I show you that is because you can earn income. I don't know of any other platform that allows you the opportunity to participate in the revenue sharing. I've been shopping at Amazon for a long time, and I ain't never got a dime from them. Well, I should. As a shopper, as a business owner, yes, we have, but otherwise, no. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention. All the information is on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. We've only ordered two items on this, and that is to help keep the homeless warm. And in order to do that, we purchased this hot chocolate. Can you see that? And it's a special kind of hot chocolate. It has vanilla bean. It is not your regular hot chocolate. Or as Jody Susan would say, not your mama's hot chocolate. But this is some, this is some special hot chocolate. So it was so much of it. It's like, so we're not going to use all this hot chocolate. So we just decided to, you know, get some cups, go to Dollar Tree. We got some cups. There's a thing that you can do that don't cost much. You don't have to get this. You can get any kind of, you know, take them, go to stop by somewhere and get some hot coffee and take it out there to them. They're drinking it. If it's just hot water, you know, it's the first thing in the morning or whatever during the day. If you haven't had anything to drink, you thirsty. So they appreciate that. On behalf of the homeless, I salute you for taking them something to drink. And if you really want to help yourself and your family get well, feel better, and support your immune system, this is something else that we buy. Noni juice. This helped me recover when I had broken bones and other health ailments and things of that nature. So those are some of the products that you can buy and get income from it. So then they give you a link and you can share it with someone else. So that supports our homeless project, which you can see on our Instagram page, hln.homeless.project, and I'll be putting that up there in just a minute. And also the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest, which is what I wanted to show you, because every fourth Thursday we have the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest for youth age 13 through 19. And we last month we gave away a $500 Harold Washington scholarship in honor of the former mayor of Chicago, Harold Washington. So as you can see there, that's the Global Virtual Teen Talent Contest that is coming up this Saturday from 12 noon until 2 p.m. Central Standard, I'm sorry, 12 until 1 p.m. I'm talking about the radio show, 2 hours. It's 1 hour, 12 until 1 p.m. And it's right here on Facebook and YouTube, and the updates are always on my page on ZeldaSpeaks.wordpress.com. So this is what we do with the money that you send in, and it's all tax deductible at our website, OhioLearningNetwork.org, and there's just a whole lot more information on Linktree. And I want to thank you, Naima, for being the kind of person that continues to support our youth as well, because we are always complaining about how bad they are. Let's talk about how good they are.
Yes. They do some fantastic things, and we need to recognize the good, and we need to promote the good and make sure that people hear about the good. We already got an industry, like you talked about, the programming, and all we hear on the mass media, all the negativity, that's to keep us in a state of fear, that's to keep us in a low state of distrust of our greatest resource, which is our young people.
Yes.
So congratulations to you for all you do in bringing to the world attention all these talented teens who really are here to transform our world and make it a better place. And so we owe it to them to give them a place where they can share their talent, share their gifts, and bring some joy to the world.
And you can send in your link, you know, just tape them with your cell phone, doing 60 seconds of a video of what they'd like to do, sing, dance, rap, act, write, promote, direct, graphic arts, photography, videographer. We had a 14-year-old photography on, a photographer on about a month ago, 14 years old, lives right here in my building. I've noticed since she's this tall. And now she's 6 feet tall, and it's like I didn't even know what the child did. I just know her mother, and I see them in passing. And I met her mother in the laundry room. There, we're talking about it. She was talking about how all our schools want her to attend there because of her photography. I was like, wow, this has been up under my nose all this time, and I didn't even know it. I digress, but I had to go there because we can't keep talking about it. We got to be about the business. So this is the business of bringing our youth up to snuff. We can't talk about them no more. We got to do something.
Yeah,
each one, teach one. So I just wanted to share that with you. So when you see a child in acting out, just know that they're trying to get some attention, and they want, and you might be the attention they need to remind them that this is what they need to do. So if you've got any questions, just send us email, info@higherlearningnetwork.org. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Thank you very much.
All right.
We got some calls, Naima. 773-263, you're live on the Female Solution Grand Rising. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is
I'm sorry, Rashida. Let's take the next call. 312-671. You're live on the Female Solution. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And what's your question or comment?
Well, yeah, shalom. Assalamu alaikum. And hotel. This is Minister Plump, Robert Floyd Plump. And how are you this morning, Zelda?
Wonderful. Thank you so much for calling, Minister Plum. We appreciate
you. Yeah, I just wanted to reflect on the 100-year centennial of the Honorable Mayor Harold Lee Washington this past Saturday, which is the 23rd, was the 23rd of the month. In the reflection of what Mayor Harold Lee Washington said, we must plump the whole community. So we are promoting peace, love, unity, marketing people. I want to say that we had a fantastic day at Harold Washington Park District.
Hey.
With Mayor Lori Leica was out there too. And, you know, during her administration, we did try back in the day with Mayor Daley and also Mayor Rahm Emanuel to get Mayor Harold Lee Washington birthday, a legal holiday. But we finally got it as of this past Monday, last week, a legal holiday. So, you know, that's like the Irish holiday. But it's different because it's a black man's holiday, and it's the first time that we ever had a mayor out of all the mayors that we ever had, which we need to build up, you know, his way of life as a, you know, this time now in the future in teaching our children, which is to help save our children, of course. And I would like to do a special collaboration with you, Zelda, with the children concerning your Mayor Hal Lee Washington Scholarship Program.
We so look forward to that. And a collaboration, especially for the anniversary of the centennial celebration of his birthday. I think that is simply phenomenal. And it was such an honor, Naima, to be able to share, because some of these children were born, they don't know nothing about Harry Washington. They never knew that they had a black mayor.
Right.
How about
that? Born after 1987, and many of them are now, born
right.
after 1987.
Right.
That's the whole era that they have no knowledge of. You know, Jonathan Jackson said something about compassion, which
yes.
I think quality we need to look for in anybody who's running for office. Unless you have compassion, you're not going to support measures that will actually change the condition. We have to go from a profit-based motive to a compassion-based motive. And anytime there's a decision that has to be made about what do we use this building for? Maybe it's been empty because the business closed, or maybe it's empty because, you know, someone died and no heirs claimed it, whatever the case may be. But if a proposal is made to house somebody who's homeless or a family who has been suffering financially, rather than let's look at, well, you know, how does the bank get their investment back, or how do we make money off of this? Compassion has to be the major purpose for what we do. And I so appreciate what Dr. Willie Wilson has been doing. And I understand that he sets a different kind of precedent because, like you said, he has his own money. But I really think as we look at everybody who's running for office, and Mayor Harry Washington, he did set some new precedents in motion. And I think everybody who's running for office, they need to show us how compassionate they can be. They need
yes.
to show us how much they care for the least of these.
Mm.
They need to demonstrate how they're willing to change the policies that have been brutal and insensitive, and really put some different policies in motion. They need to show us their heart, because that's the reason for electing somebody. We have to see where they're willing to change the existing climate and actually transform the world that we're living in. COVID has made it clear we're not going to go back to the way things were. So many things were dismantled, like Jonathan was saying, the school fell apart. You have young people who literally lost 2 years of education. So that means we need to change the standard of what we consider educated. Because if you didn't take time to learn those things that are required to pass a test, well, that can no longer be the standard as to whether or not you get into a college or get into a high school or...
Oops, sorry about that.
Some real skills, some life skills, some human interaction skills. We've got to be teaching things that matter. Because those other things that we were teaching, some of those things have nothing to do with their lives, their survival, their intelligence, you know, their ability to cooperate and work with people. Some of those things really didn't need to be taught because they were useless. So now that they didn't get a chance to learn them, let's really revisit whether or not it was relevant for them to learn anyway. And let's look at what can we teach them from this point that will make them better people and give them principles and ethics and values such as compassion for others. Those are really the kinds of lessons we need to be teaching. So I think this is a great opportunity for us to change what wasn't working anyway and put something else in place. That's what we really, and we need to look at people who are running for office and listen to those who have a vision for something better.
And that is exactly why we salute Dr. Willie Wilson Foundation for the humanitarian work that he was doing. This, what you're looking at here, is a clip of the third $1 million giveaway that he did all over the city of Chicago just this past Saturday. And he was in all 77 communities he has visited. And this is where the press conference was held Saturday morning at 7201 North Clark Street with this Middle Eastern family. And there were also lots of Filipinos there and Irish and Italian, just all kinds of people who came out to support and get gas and to thank Dolly Willie Wilson Foundation for the wonderful work that he does, for being a humanitarian and not waiting on the city to do the work, but do the work because he's been blessed to do the work.
Right. And we were down there in the Roseland area where also,
yeah,
you know, people came and the owners of the gas station were very, it was right on 111th and State Street in the Roseland area. And Roseland had really been hit hard economically.
Yes.
So people were very grateful and, you know, started lining up early in the morning because,
yes,
they definitely needed that free gas. And, you know, my praise goes to those who worked with Dr. Wilson, the workers that helped keep things organized and, you know, made sure people stayed calm and patient. And people were very cooperative. And, you know, the police that were helping, you know, keep the traffic clear and everything, and made sure that people kept their place in line and all of that. And it was a good demonstration of what we can do when there is compassion, when your goal really is to just help. And then, of course, for those gas stations who participated, they got a big boost in business because,
yes,
everyone wanted to go to the gas station where the free gas was. And, of course, it wasn't free. It had been paid,
yes,
for already by,
yes,
Dr. Wilson. But that just goes to show you, when you give and when you allow people to give and you allow people to do a good deed, you benefit. It's a blessing to everybody who participates.
And it was definitely a blessing because there were people sitting in line who says, I don't know how I'm going to get to work next week because I just don't have the money. And I got to feed my kids. I was, because you can't see it now, but I was walking down that long line. I walked several blocks where people were just so, and I've got to post those videos because, you know, there's a lot of footage, so I got to work on that today. They were so grateful that a man of God who has money, who's not stingy, who has the biggest heart you'll ever see. And, you know, they always have a question at the Q&A at the end of the press conference. And one of the questions was, why are you doing this, and why are you not letting the mayor do this? And he said, well, first of all, this is my money. I can do what I want to do with it, when I want to do with it. And if God gives me instructions to help people by just, you can see him pumping gas there. And he even asked city officials to come out, as well as other business owners, entrepreneurs. He even asked the cameraman to pump some gas. And everybody was pumping gas. So thank you, Dr. Willie Wilson Foundation, for being a humanitarian, and he's also running for mayor. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, yeah. We'll look at having him on and other candidates for office who can remind us for the real reason for leadership, and that is to make life better for those who are part of the community. It's the purpose of it is to take the lead in setting the standards that we should live by. So we should live by the standard of love your neighbor as yourself. And when that is the standard, we won't have any issues of crime.
And we're about to do the after show, so if you're on the line or you want to call in right now, 515-932-5, press 1 to speak. And we can take your questions. Right now, we've got to play the ending, so just hear this, and we'll come back at 9 o'clock.
www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimahlatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Xiexie. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Geret. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
By now, if you just joined us and we're in the after show, as you can see, that is the footage from this weekend's gas giveaway, $3 million gas giveaway with Dr. Willie Wilson Foundation. And you can see more of that on our Facebook page, HLN TV Show. Did I say, no, I said that wrong, HLN TV One. And our YouTube channel is Higher Learning TV Show. But if you go to our Linktree page, you'll see all of that information there. And Naima, I forgot to mention that for those who donate to the Higher Learning Network that we have put together, because we want to offer people the opportunity to get something for their buck. And we're not like Dr. Willie Wilson. We don't have a million to give away just yet. Yeah, you know what I said, yes. But we do have T-shirts, and those T-shirts are from our morning experience.
Inhale, well, exhale.
I thought that was cute. Inhale, wealth, and exhale, debt. How is that possible, Zelda? Well, if you go back to the breathing experience, remember those words, those affirmations that I gave you? You can say anything you want to say. So that's every time I inhale, wealth, and I'm exhaling debt.
I own no money.
Like Keaton. Inhale, wealth, and exhale debt. See, because we have a powerful energy in ourselves, and excuse me for not reminding that our viewers and listeners that we are now on what's referred to as the after show with the executive producer Naima Latif of onaireverywhere.com. You can always go there, but right now we are in the after show, and these are the T-shirts that we have to offer for those who are willing to donate at higherlearningnetwork.org. We have a whole host of T-shirts. Actually, there's about six or eight of them, and they all say different things. But this is my favorite, so that's why I pulled this one up, because, you know, money is always on the minds of Americans. We wake up thinking about how we're going to get that next dollar. So this is the way, because what I'm learning in this experience, Naima, the more I give, because sometimes people will donate, and it's just not enough when I get to the counter, so I'm always putting my money in extra, and I cannot tell you the amount of things that I get back. It's not always in the form of money, but resources that come back to me as a result of just giving. You say you don't have it to give, that's not true. If you live in America, you got it. You just don't know how well you got it. People living in third world countries where it's raining like it did for Tent City. You know, they keep in constantly, it's wet over here. We need some more butane. People live like that every day, all day. All day, every day, 365. And they don't live in a warm city like Miami or Florida or Texas or Alabama or something like that. They live in Chicago. It's cold here. So I said all that to say this. This is one of the T-shirts that you can get. It's $25, and it is tax-deductible from higherlearningnetwork.org. Now, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And I just want to share that with you so that you can share it with somebody else. How about that?
All right.
And, but, Naima, I have got, oh, Lord, I have got to show you this video that Baba Kwame Sunhorse sent me. We got, you know, we got to do a show on it, and somebody might do it this week. But when he sent me this, I am not a hater of anybody for anything. What you do with your life, who you sleep with, is none of my business. I could care less. I'm just trying to maintain my home. But when he sent me this video, I'll let you see it. I'm not gonna say anything. Just watch it. How about that?
So in modern America, if you point out that biological sex is a physical reality, you can be fired from your job. The Washington Post will send a reporter to your house to intimidate you, but it doesn't change anything. Denying reality doesn't change reality. You can say gravity isn't real, but if you jump off the roof of your garage, you're still going to get hurt. And that's true for biological sex. It is, in fact, real, whether the authorities admit it or not. Officials in New Jersey are learning that lesson this week. Two female inmates at a supposedly all-women's prison in New Jersey have just become pregnant. You wonder how that happened. Well, it turns out those women had sexual encounters with another inmate who was a biological man passing as a woman. Now, some people predicted that this would happen, and they were laughed at, mocked, and attacked as bigots. Kara Dansky is at the very top of that list. She said this years ago on our show. She's the president of the U.S. chapter of the Women's Declaration International, author of the book The Abolition of Sex, How the Transgender Agenda Harms Women and Girls. And we are happy to have Kara Dansky back. Kara, thanks so much for coming on. I'll never forget the first time, and it had to have been at least 4 years ago, when you said, if we keep going down this path, we're going to have biological men in women's prisons. And you were right.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. You know, though, the story that's happening in New Jersey is obviously horrible for so many reasons. We need to not have men being housed in women's prisons. But a couple takeaways from this that I just want to point out are, first of all, the state is not getting away with this by telling its residents that they are housing men in women's prisons. What they are doing, of course, is telling the residents that they are housing so-called transgender women or trans women in women's prisons, suggesting that there is some sort of subcategory of women that is called transgender women or trans women, and it's not true. The fact of this story shoots a hole right through the trope that trans women are women. Our society has been taught that we are supposed to say and think that trans women are women, but obviously that is not true, because the individuals that are the focus of the story impregnated women, and every thinking adult, no matter what the President of the United States has to say on the matter, knows that there is no category of women who can impregnate women. So I really want to thank you for highlighting this story. And I also just want to point out that this is not just a problem in New Jersey. This is a problem across the country. I know that we have talked previously about how the state of California recently enacted a law at the end of 2020, which went into effect in 2021, which mandates that men be housed in women's prisons on the basis of their so-called gender identity if they say that they are women. Washington State has a similar policy. However, this is not just happening in blue states. This is happening across the country. As far as I know, 49 states plus the District of Columbia have some form of law or policy in place that mandates the housing of men in women's prisons.
Why is it left to you and J.K. Rowling and a couple of others to point this out? Where are the physicians who know perfectly well that what you're saying is true, the biologists who know it every bit as well? Why are they going along with this when they know it's a lie?
So the entire medical establishment in the United States has been captured by so-called trans ideology. And what I really want all Americans across the political spectrum to understand is that trans is not a civil rights movement to protect a marginalized community of people. It is a multi-trillion dollar industry that is pushing this. It is paying the medical establishment. It is paying most media outlets. It is paying our government. It is paying our schools at all levels, elementary schools through college, to push the idea that the material reality of sex does not exist, and that what is more important than the material reality of sex is so-called gender identity. This is all being pushed by a multi-trillion dollar industry in the guise of a civil rights movement. It's all a lie.
And these are the people providing our medical care. It's really scary when you put it
they
down.
Are. I know someone who is a medical student right now, and she is horrified about what's being taught. I do just want to say really quickly, there's something that has been announced in the past couple of weeks called the Women's Bill of Rights. This was drafted by members of the Women's Liberation Front and by members of Independent Women's Voices, supported by my organization, Women's Declaration International, as well as Concerned Women for America. And I really hope that one of the members of Congress introduces it. Thank you so much.
I hope so, too. Great to see you. We'll be right back.
Wow, that might be a question for Jonathan Jackson. I hope a member of Congress will do something about that. So you see that? You see how this trillion-dollar business, this agenda is being pushed on us by the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
Because
they keep trying to find ways to keep getting paid. Because if you go through a transgender operation, you've got to keep taking hormones of that other, you know, you have to keep taking hormones forever, which, yeah, as they said, you know, you're paying somebody for that ongoing treatment.
Hospital, surgery, aftercare.
Yes. Everything in our society is about getting paid. It's about profit making. That's why our lawmakers have to have as their agenda compassion for people, not trying to figure out how you can benefit from somebody's dysfunction, somebody's distress, somebody's inability to fit into society, whatever the case may be. We can't keep allowing people to turn our hurt and pain into a business. And I think that was one of the reasons why now Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson was asked the question, define what a woman is. And you think, why would you ask somebody something like that? It's because you've got these issues that are probably going to come up to the Supreme Court. Define a woman. Does a transgender woman have a right to go into the bathroom of the gender that she is expressing, even though maybe he used to be a male, now he's expressing as a female? Should he be allowed to go into a woman's bathroom? Should he be allowed to be in a woman's locker room? Should he, now she, be able to participate on women's sports? Should she, now he, be able to be in a woman's prison? So it's that whole question, you know, define a woman. Well, I think it comes down to this. Whatever you were born with, that is who you are. And there are people who are born hermaphrodites. They might have both genitals. And usually doctors will say, at puberty, your body's going to decide which one is dominant, and that's when you, you know, make your choice. There are some few individuals who biologically might be both sexes. But I think for those, okay, then you have your private bathrooms or your non-gender-based bathrooms that are private, one stall, one toilet. So it's not an issue of you being in a private space with somebody of the opposite sex. You're only the only one in there, so it doesn't matter which one you are. But in situations where you need to identify your sex, I think you can have sexual intimacy with whoever you choose. That's your business. But when it comes to things like sports, which is not based on your genitals, it's based on your muscles, your muscle structure, the capacity of your muscles to function based on your biological structure. So even if you have a change of your genitals because you feel sexually you are attracted to the same sex, physiologically your body is still a male when it comes to muscle. So no, it is not fair for you to compete as a woman on a woman's team. I mean, there are some biological realities. Some things have nothing to do with sex. It has to do with who you are, you know, who you were born with. And I don't think, even if you change your mind after you're born, when you're born, if you have a specific sexual identity, that's what it is. Now, we need to put on job applications or whatever, sex at birth, you know, and your current sexual expression or whatever, but you can't decide that you can be something else and then want to be something else. You can't make that be the reality. And just like, I mean, some of these things, they're designed to create a lot of argument.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I think when it comes to things like your sexuality, that's your private business. When it comes to how you're interacting with people and things are designated in terms of gender privacy, if you're not sure or if you've changed your mind, then you have to be separate with those who are expressing something other than their birth.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make yourself be a female if biologically you were born male. You can't make yourself be male if biologically you were born female.
It's going to come out in sports. That's what Deborah said. The gender identity is a problem in sports as well. We're on the after show. We got to take a couple of calls before we got about 10 more minutes. Baba Kwame Sunhorse sent me this video, so I'm going to open up the line. 706-202, Baba Kwame Sunhorse, Grand Rising. Thank you so much for sending us that wonderful video and for sharing this information this morning. Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, and assalamu alaikum to my sister.
Wa alaikum salam. Thanks for joining our conversation.
And enjoying that, because the thing that we're looking at in this societal genocide, because what we're now looking at is what's called gendercide.
Hmm.
And there's an excellent book edited by Adam Jones, and I recommend your audience get this and read it, because what it focused basically is on our men and how the demasculation of man, black men especially. And the part of it is that they're knowing in their own right that we can destroy this racial thing by just our phallus. The part that we're now looking at, because Francis Cress Wilson said it, this is why they lynch black men. The part of it is to get the men to believe that they're women and to put them in a situation, because I didn't hear, and they don't say anything about the women that are now saying that they're men. They don't put them in men prison because their body is not a male.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to take a male and put them into a woman's prison? The thing that we're looking at is, this is what Bobby E. Wright wrote when he wrote Racial Psychic. He talked about menticide, and that was the mental suicide in which we see going on. We hate each other, we attack each other, and black-on-black crime. Now we've gotten into the genetics, the gender identity, and what we're doing is destroying male-female relationship as much as possible to depopulate the planet with viruses, with gendercide, with menticide. You have a program that they wrote on the Georgia Guidestones that they want 500 million people on the planet. They are in the process of eliminating. They are in the process of eliminating through creating false narratives of identity.
I think it's important for us, as we recognize that some people arrogantly have the thought that they have the power to decide what the earth is going to look like. It's important for us to remember that they are not in control of anything. They can be destructive, and they can lie, and they can fabricate, but they control nothing. We are the creators of our reality, and no one can change that. And the earth herself can choose to shake us all off like fleas on a dog when she gets tired of our misbehavior. And we see it all the time. Floods, hurricanes, fires. There are powers greater than the arrogance of misdirected scientists and social scientists and medical scientists and all of these people who believe they can change that which they did not create. All of us are just temporary residents on this planet, and we will get off when our time is done. And so for those who think they can create a future in which they can decide who's going to be here and who isn't, they're going to be sadly mistaken, because they'll be the ones that end up exiting here. And everybody who's living according to a holistic, compassionate, cooperative way of life, they will be the ones that inherit the earth. Isn't that what all our scriptures have said about the meek shall inherit the earth? It's not going to be the ones with these ridiculous schemes and all of this propaganda. They're not going to be here. They're self-destructive. So we just simply need to focus on what we want the world to look like. We want there to be green pastures and still waters, and we want there to be clean air and blue skies. We want there to be love, kindness, children laughing and playing without fear. We want there to be loving relationships where people trust each other and honor each other. So let us visualize that and hold that vision, because once we hold that vision, we create the vibration for it, and once we create the vibration for it, we enter the timeline where it already exists. Because all things already exist. It's a matter of which timeline you're going to enter in order to experience it. That is the science of creation. So when people try to miscreate by injecting fear-based notions that they're going to eliminate us or kill us or deprive us of basic necessities of life, we must stop empowering them with our thoughts that they have the power to do that, because they don't. They have nothing but the power to suggest. And we can either reject that suggestion and replace it with our own powerful thoughts, or we can feed into it and therefore give it power. So which are we going to choose to do? Are we going to choose to empower people who intend to destroy, or are we going to empower ourselves? And we know we intend to create.
Amen. Well spoken. And if you are just joining the conversation, this is the After Show with Executive Producer Naima Latif. All of the information that you hear today, there will be updates on my blog on zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com. Did you have any closing comments, Baba Kwame Sunhorse?
Yes, I would recommend this book, Gendercide and Genocide, and look up the journal. And this is what I'm saying. This is how this is coming to an educational tool. They have what's called the Journal of Genocide Research.
Wow.
And what the Journal of Genocide Research is a publication that comes out that, you know, journals that they use in institutions. And the framework of it is dealing with genocide, but it's also dealing with the female infanticide. Because you look at the birth rate of our children are now and threatening. It's because of what we had is eugenics as one part of it that started the process. But now we have it to where now it's a tool in which they use to depopulate the creation of human beings. And what we're seeing now is the annihilation as possible that man, like Naima says, man has taken himself and put himself what he puts on his dollar. In God we trust. And in God we trust, I always say this, the GOD stands for gold, oil, and drugs. We right now seeing that's what's going on.
Save
drugs.
Save
go.
Because it's about the gold, it's about the oil, and it's about the drugs.
Whom they trust, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what they're trusting to keep them in power, because whoever controls your resources controls your world. Gil Scott-Heron said that in the 70s. So what we're seeing now is what we were foretold that was coming. When do we listen and when do we use the universe within?
This is going to cause some major conversations to happen today. God, G-O-D, I read somewhere that it was a construct. Exactly what you said, and it's all about guns, oil, and drugs. So is that what we're praying to? Is that what we're praying to and for?
Go ahead, I said gold, oil, and drugs.
Well,
look at the gold. Now, what if we were to establish a system of exchange where we didn't need any substance at all? We didn't need paper, didn't need coins, didn't need gold, didn't need anything but just our compassion for each other and our desire for each other's well-being. So, and like LA is always talking about, LA Day is always talking about social capital, where I do something for you, you do something for me. We exchange, we cooperate. So we don't need anything to represent wealth. We just simply work together and help each other. So that gets rid of the gold. Oil. Well, what if we use the natural means of energy that is not something that has to be dug out of the ground? What if we use things like water power or solar power or wind power? All of that technology exists, so therefore we don't need the oil. Drugs. What are drugs? Well, drugs are just basically altered forms of what's already in nature, but definitely magnified because people are self-medicating because they're in various stages of emotional distress. Well, what about if we remove the emotional distress and we use what is natural in the way it was intended to keep us calm and at peace, but not in an altered mental state? And so, therefore, we don't need the drugs. So then we eliminate that God that is what we have entrusted in, and we are living in a natural, peaceful state where none of those things have any power anymore. We have the power to create that life, so let's focus on that as the new reality and make it so.
But we can go back and look at something. If I could share, there was an elder, and his name was John Fire Lame Deer, and he wrote this portrayal before the white man. Before the white man arrived to make us civilized men, we didn't have any prisons. Because of this, we had no delinquents. Without a prison, there can be no delinquents. We had no locks and keys, and therefore among us there was no thieves. When someone was so poor that he couldn't afford a horse, a tent, or a blanket, he would, in that case, receive as gifts. He would gift horses, tents, and blankets to the person that didn't have it, the homeless. We would provide them with. We were too uncivilized to give great importance to private property. We didn't know anything about money. Currently, the value of human beings was not determined by his wealth. We had no written laws laid down. We had no lawyers, no politicians. Therefore, we were not able to cheat and swindle one another. We were really in bad shape before the white man arrived. I don't know how to explain how we were able to manage without these fundamental things that, so they tell us, are necessary for a civilized society. For us, all of those things makes a civilized society, when before they arrived, we didn't have it and we didn't have this problem.
Okay.
There you go.
So what does that tell you?
So the civilization was actually the uncivilization.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's go back to our uncivilized state so we can be really civilized.
Yes.
That's what we learned from that.
I sent
this to you. And because that existed before this, we have to know that we don't need this. I'm just so grateful that the COVID virus came to disrupt what we thought was etched in stone, because all of this needed to be can go back to the simple times when we just helped each other.
Mm-hmm.
None of this stuff, prisons, police, locks and bars and chains, none of that existed because none of it was necessary because we lived according to the laws of compassion. Love your neighbor as yourself. We just did that. All the problems would be solved.
I sent that to you, Zelda.
Yes, sir. I have it, and I'm going to share that on the blog. It's a quote from John Firelane, Dear, in accurate portrayal of life before the white man. Ooh, Lord. Hey, yeah. I will be posting that on ZeldaSpeaks.com. Y'all just give me a little bit, and this is where you can find it. And you can also find us here tomorrow morning, same time, same place, 7 until 9 a.m. Central Standard Time with Jody Susan of Susan Essentials, and she is on from 7 until 9 a.m. What can we expect on Wednesday, Naima?
Well, let's see, Wednesday, let's see, this is, ooh, I believe we have our fourth Wednesday
men's
with
round
our
table.
All men discussion.
All men.
As always, we get an opportunity to listen to the men as they talk about those very important issues of developing into manhood, and they can speak privately to each other, even though the world is listening. But they can speak privately without feeling like women are interjecting our thoughts. And we can listen quietly and learn. So if you're a woman, if you're a man, we want you to call in 515-605-9891 and talk to our co-host, Kareem Hamid. He'll be leading the discussion. If you're a woman, we want you to call in the Female Solution at 515-605-9325. Because in the commercial breaks, we'll kind of take a look at what we heard and then do a little after show to analyze some of the things we learned from that conversation. So tune in and be a part of the solution. And on Thursday, of course, we have Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green, always giving us some real insight on how we can heal that wounded child inside and overcome some of life's greatest emotional challenges. And then, of course, we've got Friday, Health and Well-Being with Beata, always giving us the real deal about our health and well-being so that we don't have to be hoodwinked by these sick care institutions. We can learn how to take control of our own body's health. And then Saturday, we're going to be featuring the wonderful Global Teen Talent Competition. So tune on in. And we'll get a chance to hear some comments. You all can call in and tell us your thoughts. And then, of course, we want to look at ways that we can encourage maybe those wayward young people who've lost hope to find their creative energy and share it.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there everywhere. So stay with us all weekend. And we start back again Sunday with Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. In the evening, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. So we are here every day giving you some inspiration, insight, and instructions on how you can make life better on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show.
And don't forget about OnAirEverywhere.com. And before you go, let me remind you to go to itex.com, I-T-E-X.com. If you are an entrepreneur or a business owner and you are tired of paying for your services or products, anything that you can buy anywhere at a car dealer, Walmart, any of the platforms, any of those, you can go to itex.com. And you can get $100 just to start shopping for free if you mention the promo code ZELDA, Z-E-L-D-A. Thank you, Richard McGee. Also, go to diabeticdonut.com if someone in your family is a diabetic or you suspect you may be a diabetic. There's a free PDF download on how I reverse type 2 diabetes. Took a while, but I did it, and it's free, and it's for you. Also, you see the T-shirt there in the screen. I forgot to mention that those T-shirts are $25 if you donate to the homeless. But also, we've got these cameras. I forgot dashboard cameras.
Ooh.
Can you see that? Oh, I need to pull that up.
Wow.
Dashboard cameras for you putting your car, because, you know, there's accidents all over the place. So we just want to be sure that you have this information that you need it. This is a road cam. You can post that on your dashboard. And this is the 720 mirror.
Can you see that? Yeah. So these are some gifts that you can get when you make a $50 donation, tax-deductible donation. You can use this and say, I donated to the Higher Learning Network. Because of me, someone will sleep warm tonight on a cold ground right here in Chicago. So all of that information will be posted on my blog, zeldaspeaks.wordpress.com, and I will have the information on the Journal of Genocide Research. So thank you, Baba Kwame Sunhorse. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of our viewers and listeners. If you're still with us, please hit that like button and that share button and subscribe, because the information that we have here on a daily basis is for everyone. We don't exclude. We include everywhere. This is all about inclusion. We don't care what your gender, what your trait. We don't care. That's not what we're here. We're about the essence of who you are.
Absolutely.
And the essence is that of love and compassion and humanity. And on that note, stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to more of Higher Learning right here on The Female Solution. And I want to find our goodbye video with all the days, Naima.
Oh, you mean the all of the hosts?
Yeah. I'm pulling it up here. I had it. It disappeared for a hot second. But, you know, this is Monday morning. That's why they call it Monday morning mindfulness, because a lot of times it's Monday morning stress. I'm talking about stress relief. It's Monday morning stress, period. Okay, I found it, so I'm going to pull it up. So you can see your favorite host or all of the hosts. And, you know, you can always go back. I forgot to mention, you can always go back to the archives and hear any of the shows.
That's right.
We are on 7 days a week, 24/7. So all you have to do is show up, and we'll do the showing out for you. As we leave you with the lineup for The Female Solution. It's been fun, y'all. We'll do this all over again. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, stay tuned to tomorrow morning, Jody Susan on The Female Solution. Make it a great day, and thanks for watching. And remember to share. Thank you.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.